The thing that we have to do is we have to adopt the proper attitude. Now, the attitude is, A, you never lose by giving charity, right? The amount of money you're supposed to have in any given year is predetermined at the beginning of the year, right? If you try to cut corners on charity, right, I'm going to the dentist tomorrow, right? The ultimate humiliation, right? Besides the pain, he puts me in pain, then charges me for it, right? The question is, which hurts more, the pain or the money, right? Is it less without Novocaine, right? Whatever it is, at the end of that, for everything, you go out, you're in pain, and then there's a bill. So maybe if I would have given, maybe I'm cutting corners somewhere. And if I wouldn't be cutting corners, I wouldn't have this expense tomorrow, right? And this is not a pleasant expense. This is always something you can never know the ultimate answer to. The bottom line is, you can never cut corners, because if you do cut corners, you've got to go figure out a way to make you lose your money somewhere else. So you have to religiously give your money away. The Prophet's time, I think, was the one. He said there was once a farmer, a very ignorant farmer, who used to take his sacks of wheat, and he would take his sacks of wheat and bring them to the distributor in the city. So he'd take these big sacks of wheat, and he would come into this distributor. So what they would do is, each sack of wheat was worth 100 rubles. He would take the sack of wheat, he would start unloading them, he would bring them into the shop. And as he brought them into the shop, the distributor, in order to keep track of how many sacks of wheat he was bringing in, every time he put a sack on the table, the distributor would put a ruble on the counter as a way of keeping track of how many sacks he owes him 100 rubles for. Right? So he brings in his sack, the guy puts a ruble on the table. Even if that guy puts a ruble, he goes out, brings in another sack. He notices that the distributor has gone and has disappeared for a second. So when he sees he's disappeared, he reaches out, he grabs a couple of rubles, and he stuffs them in his pocket, because he was dishonest. And they go out and he unloads the whole thing. At the end of the day, he sustained a loss. Right? He's outsmarted. In the end, he's causing himself a loss. If you try to cut corners by charity, the bottom line is you sustain a loss. So the first attitude is we have to realize nothing bad is going to happen by giving charity. The Gemara says that a person is allowed to give charity. Charity has the power of protecting against death. That's why on Yom Kippur, one of the things that we do is we give a lot of charity around Yom Kippur times on the Day of Judgment, because charity has the potential to change the entire judgment. It's so powerful, it could change. A person may have a potential of a negative ruling against them, and a charity could change it. Now, what we have to do is, and this is particularly applicable here in Israel, when people are attacking you from all sides asking for charity, our attitude has to be that we're happier being on the giving end than on the receiving end. Now, you look at some guy in the street, it looks like, hey, he's a perfectly good, healthy human being who could go out and get a job, so why is he asking you for a handout? That's not our judgment to make. Right? Our judgment, our obligation is to give him the money if he asks for a handout. You don't have to give a lot of money, and I would recommend you never give a lot of money to anybody who you do not know personally as being a legitimate cause. If you're looking to give big money to charity, there are people, you go to Rabbi Samet. Rabbi Samet is involved, the people who are receiving the charity. There are people involved in charity distribution whom you can give your money to, and you know that the money is getting where it's supposed to be going to. You should never give money, a lot of money, to causes where you do not know where that money is ending up. If you go to the Kotel, or you go to Mesh, or accosted by people in all directions, if you don't feel like giving money, do not say anything to the poor people. And if you do give them money, and they throw the coin back in your face, which may happen, that you give them money, the fact that you're an American automatically means you're loaded. You know that, don't you? Right? So they see you, and they can sense an American a mile away. So obviously, if you're, you must have dollars, right? You must have lots and lots of money. So you give them some money, you give them a little bit of charity, and they're not happy with it, at that point, just turn around and walk away. Don't get into a whole argument and a whole discussion. Your obligation, at that point, you have entered the test zone. Right? You are being tested at that point. And your test at that point is to be able to not but to be able to avoid a confrontation. That is essential. Do not get into a confrontation. Right? There were big tzaddikim that walked around, they put money in their pocket before you will go to a place like this, so that you have the money available just to hand out. Otherwise, the poor person comes up to you and you start reaching in your pocket and pulling out a 20. You have change for a 20, right? And he sees the 20, and then in the end you give him 20 agaros, right? And so he's disappointed, right? Then there's a confrontation. I wouldn't even stop to do that, by the way. If all I had was 20 shekels in my pocket, and I know I'm only going to give the guy 20 agaros, I wouldn't even do it. Because his humiliation and his disappointment will outweigh the benefit of the 20 agaros. Okay, so that's first of all. Second of all, you should never show any type of impatience with them, even if you don't have money. And even if they interrupt you at a point where you don't feel like being interrupted. Right? Now, you do have to realize that they don't have a right to interrupt you under all circumstances. If you're studying Torah, you do not have an obligation to stop studying Torah in order to give charity. The contrary, in most yeshivas, where we study all about kindness and consideration and charity and so on and so forth, the most classes or go into the base medrash even. Here, they obviously do go into the base medrash. Most yeshivas do not allow that, because that is not where they're supposed to be. There are people in there who have there something they're supposed to be doing now, which is very important. You want charity, so we empathize with you, but you have to wait outside. That's when they'll be able to give to you. Okay? In the middle of davening, if you're in the middle of davening, it's going to break your concentration. Shemesre, it's prohibited to give money. It's prohibited to stop in the middle of Shemesre to give money. And if you're in the middle of davening, then you also should not, you do not have an obligation. If anyway, your concentration is as good as mine, which means it's non-existent, so at least my davening was worth something. Dirty while I was davening, and that's how I look at it. I'm in the middle of davening, I'm over here, let's see. What do I have to do after davening? That's it, okay, I gotta go shopping, and I gotta go to the other. And that's what I'm thinking about during davening. So finally I hear somebody wakes me out of my coma as he comes by, you know, with the money. I'm good, at least I did something in school today. You know, at least I gave some money. So I, that doesn't bother me so much.
What about that point of Zukh and Zimra just before Yishtabach?
You can give it, again, it depends on the individual.
No, one should give away there, or...
Oh, you mean, there, the custom is to give. I generally try to give right before I start davening. I try. I'm sorry? That's a good test, I'll tell you. That's a good test, because then it's a good, and that's when it's most... I'd much rather they come to me when I'm davening than when I'm eating. You know, I hate to be interrupted when I'm eating, right? That's a real good test, right? How much am I in control of myself? That's a test. If you feel you're going to get irritated, so don't do anything. Okay? I'll take more questions next time. I have to fly out of here. We'll start tomorrow before you get there. More questions on the duck, we'll start the question. I'm taking the questions for the next week.